Phil Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
Understand the tragedy of it, right?
The leading cause of suicide among many dentists is the relationship with the patient.
And we're talking about suicide among dentists is quite frequent, right? Or is it
is a tragic proportions. There are many dentists who are, and I'll put this in dentists who are unable to deal with a lot of people who are so-called afraid of the dentist, and this takes a terrible toll on the dentist because this is something that he has to hear all of the time.
What is it specifically that dentists, whether in America or internationally, is feeling when he hears someone say, I'm afraid of going to the dentist, I'm afraid of the needle, that we often hear people say?
Well, there are a lot of feelings. Primarily the feelings are those of the ones that you would imagine, disgust, a feeling of exasperation.
Disgust with the patient?
Disgust with the patient, exasperation with the patient, impatience. There's a certain element of loathing of a patient. You get irritated hearing it over and over again. Doctor, are you going to use a needle? Doctor, are you going to give me the needle? Doctor, I'm afraid of dentists. It's not unlike perhaps the experience of police officers. What is happening, Phil, if you are a dentist like a police officer, you're seeing day after day the less flattering side of the human race. Anyone in the service industry, waitresses, cashiers, they can all attest to this. But with the dental profession, you have to deal with more of it than you'd like, with people who are, again, I want to put this into quotes, afraid of going to the dentist.
Why do you put that into quotes? Because you hear it a lot?
Because you do. You hear it a lot. And it's after a while it goes in one ear and out the other. If you don't let this sort of water roll off your back, you can begin to what I call see the red mist come down. You feel feelings of rage, and you lose patience. So you're so thoroughly disgusted. I can see a man or a woman, a dentist, coming home from the office. We're talking about the frequency of suicide.
Do you know what the suicide rate among dentists is?
I don't know the specific numbers, but I can tell you from a human point of view, it takes a horrible toll to imagine a man or woman tired and depressed, staring at the hardwood grain surface of the desk, reaching into the lower left-hand drawer, pulling out a .38, and leaving what little of your brains you have left all over, a new French door that your wife had installed. It's
what? Dentists are disgusted, therefore, with people who keep saying that they're afraid of the dentist, that they don't like the needle, and this is because they're disgusted with the fear or disgusted with...
Well, it's a sort of unrelenting complaint of people that they're afraid of going to the dentist. Look, we're in the 21st century, and one would think that the people of this century have grown up a little bit. You know, you just want to say, oh, grow up, you know? And there isn't a day that goes by that dentists all over the world have to deal with adults, children, the elderly, all races, all creeds, who are really rather off-putting with their fear of the needle, and they don't want to have the filling, and they don't want to have the root canal.
All right, now, I have in front of me the Ashley Keene lawsuit. This is the family of Ashley Keene?
That's correct, yes.
And I want to talk about the lawsuit. I want to give her phone number out. I'm talking to Dr. Jim Sadler. He is a family dentist. You had a pediatric dental practice for a while.
That is correct, yeah.
Which you gave up because you were tired of hearing the kids crying about it, but now the needles and everything, but now the adults do.
The adults do it just as much as the kids, that is correct. And the Ashley Keene incident, her family's been coming to me for 22 years.
All right, let me give our number here, Dr. Sadler. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Dentists want protection against something that you're going to describe as a kind of a dental rage. You want protection against lawsuits because you feel, and other dentists feel, the time has come where you're just tired of hearing people say they're afraid of coming to the dentist.
Absolutely. And Phil...
Let me get into the lawsuit if I could.
Yes, sir.
You've been sued by the Keene family.
And without merit, I want to add.
All right, well, let me just read it. The family alleges that Ashley, who is 17 years old, correct?
That is correct, yes.
She was in for a dental filling.
That is correct. It was a primary first molar, yes.
She was afraid of the dentist chair, and she was complaining about she didn't want the Novocaine.
Well, she was complaining, I don't know how many times, about being afraid of the dentist. She asked me again, do I have to have Novocaine? Dr. Sadler, I'm so afraid of needles. And I remember specifically that day gritting my teeth because I didn't want to lose my temper. And I remember counting to 10 as one of the therapists that I'd been seeing advised to do. And then she says, and I guess this is what pushed me over the edge. She said, can I have some Ambisol, which is a topical anesthetic that you can buy in a drugstore? And that's what my lawyer and I both point to as the reason for the incident.
Well, the incident, you're holding a dental hypodermic needle, and you had begun to inject the Novocaine into her gum.
Correct.
When you claim she made some statement.
She said, ow, it hurts. I started to give her a shot of Novocaine, which you do when people need any kind of root work or dental filling work. And she said, ow, or she made some whiny sound, and that's when...
Well, what you did is, your attorney says you jammed the needle deep into her gum, hitting a nerve and causing partial paralysis of the left side of her jaw.
I'd like to explain.
Now, your attorney's claiming a psychiatric malady.
Let me explain. The Alliance for Dental Progress, of which I am a chairman, recognizes the very viable psychosocial disorder called dental rage, which has dentists have contended with for hundreds of years. But only now is it being recognized.
This is brought on by the continual numbing complaint, as you say, that people are afraid of dentists. You use the word they're whining about it, they're complaining about it, and it gives rise to feelings of rage and possible violent episodes among dentists.
You have to understand, to hear morning, noon, and night, you know, I'm afraid of coming to the dentist. If you want to walk around with breath, you want to run, you know, with halitosis of the gums and breath that would kill a normal-sized man, that's your business. But when you come to me, I will fix your teeth. You start in with, I'm afraid of dentists and I'm afraid of the needle. And now you're beginning to get into an area where, like I say, the red mist comes down.
Why does this cause such anger? When I, you know, dentists are...
Well, how would you like people saying to you, oh, I really don't want to listen to the Phil Hendry show, but I have to because it's my radio stuck on the dial. And they said it over and over again. We are addressing, for the very first time, in my knowledge, the very real problem of people sniveling and whining and sniveling about dentists, and they're afraid of the needle. And we are justifiably sick and tired.
You describe Ashley Keene as an upper-middle-class brat?
No, I did not, sir, no.
Who called her an upper-middle-class brat?
I said... I might have used the word brat. I said she was an upper-middle-class brat with around $7,000 a brace, $7,000 worth of braces in her face, and she's sniveling about needles and Novocaine.
All right, but what you're doing is you're justifying jamming a hypodermic needle deep into this kid's gum to the point where she lost feeling in part of her jaw.
They are what we are saying to patients. They're responsible. And that's what we're saying to the Keene family, that they're responsible. Now, I've known the Keene family for many years. I have been their primary family dentist for many years. I like Ashley personally, and I think she's a fine girl. Once she can just shut her mouth, but when she opens that mouth up and starts in with, I'm afraid of needles, and...
All right, well, I will say this, and you're asking the dental rage be recognized as an actual psychological malady, and that you not be sued.
This is what the alliance is asking for, and I don't think it's too much to ask of a people that have been nonstop, you know, like my wife says, bidi, you know, with the mouth going all the time. I don't like needles. I don't like dentists. The dental chair scares me. Do I have to come in? And I want to just you find yourself wanting to pick up. And I've got some very heavy equipment in my office. I wanted to pick up an entire hygienist machine one afternoon and throw it through a window, and we're three floors up. Because here it came again. Ow, ow, you know,
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Are you afraid of the dentist? Are you afraid of going to the dentist? Are you afraid of needles? As a matter of fact, my sons just went in today for wisdom teeth extraction, so we're dealing with it. Dr. Jim Sadler is with us. He is a family dentist. He's the chairman of an organization called Alliance for Dental Progress. They want dental rage to be recognized as a viable malady caused by people constantly complaining about needles and dentists. Now, he admits, and this is a lawsuit filed by the family, that when a girl who had come to see him for a filling went ow or complained about the pain of the needle, I think, Janice, he instinctively jammed it deeper into her gum, causing a nerve to be hit and paralysis. What I find interesting is he says he is justified in this. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 2 feet shorter than models. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dr. Jim Sadler joins us. He is a dental doctor, dental surgery, and he is, among other dentists, involved in an organization called Alliance for Dental Progress. They want protection against individuals who are afraid of the dentist, who are afraid of the needle, and who justifiably anger dentists when they continually complain about it. And we're going to go to some phone calls here, Dr. Sadler, if we can take some calls from the audience.
I'd be happy to, Phil, but I want to make one comment, and that is this. Remember that you need the dentist a lot more than the dentist needs you. Without us, your teeth are going, you'll have unhealthy gums, you will obviously have a very unhealthy physiology, and that's not a good thing. Treat your dentist with some respect and quit whining and sniffling and it pisses me off, and pardon my language, but
Well, I just need to keep the language a little clean.
Well, it bothers me to hear them, ow. I can still remember this girl, Ashley Keene, when I put the needle in her mouth and I went to apply what would be a 7 primary injections for, she had a first primary molar, type 9 decay, and she goes, and I said, oh boy, here we go, man, she's really asking for it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, this is, I believe it's Michelle. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Dr. Jim Sadler, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying that, you know, if the doctor really thinks that he has a diagnosable middle problem, he practices in the beginning.
You don't understand. It's like phobia. In other words, if you have a fear, hold on for a minute, ma'am, because you're not a doctor. You don't understand what I said. If one has a fear of heights, if one has a fear of these kinds of, these are phobias. The fact is that road rage is also considered to be a neurosis. What we're trying to say is it should be obviously listed by the APA and therefore make us immune to lawsuits.
No, therefore you should not practice.
Well,
I'm an ENT, okay? And we have to
go
by a certain code.
So you know how to lift a body bag into the back of a truck. I'm trying to say.
Exactly.
All right, hold on.
And I know
that
we have to go by a certain code of ethics.
You're not a doctor.
Our number one code of ethics is do no harm.
You're not a doctor, so you don't have a code of
something like that.
You don't have a code of ethics. Your code of ethics is,
yes, we do.
Who's making the coffee, you know.
We have a code of ethics, and it's do no harm. And if I have a patient and
let me cut through all of this. I don't think you're saying, doctor, that you didn't do anything wrong.
What I'm saying is it was provoked. That's what happened. I was provoked, as many dentists are provoked every day, by somebody whining, ow, Do you? Let me ask you, Michelle. Let's cut through all of the manure here. Are you afraid of needles?
No.
All right. Then you and I got no problem.
Yeah,
but if you're afraid
no
of needles, you and I have
however,
got a problem. As an
I have
EMT,
no fear of needles.
You,
however,
people, you pick up the people you pick up are usually dead, so you don't have
that's
people
not
complaining.
That's not always true. We pick up people that range from little children all the way to adults. That
can I ask you a question?
Range from a headache.
Can we just get right? Do you get your kids by turning the siren on and all that stuff?
No.
Why are you asking this?
Because I know a lot of EMTs. They get their cheap thrills turning sirens and whistles on and screaming through red lights.
Okay, now that might be a different state. Now,
well,
in the state of Georgia, if you
know.
Do that without a reason, that is against the law. That
well,
is one of our ethical things that we do not do.
But
like,
if you're not afraid
of whining, saying, please don't give me a needle, we don't jam it into their arms.
Oh, I see. So what you do is you let them just scream in agony. Is that it? From the, are you kidding me?
Or what? Was not wanting the needle.
Are you kidding
it's
me? Or what?
More stress giving them the needle.
No, you have to give them something to treat the pain. I question whether you're really an EMT. What's EMT
I
stand
am.
For?
Emergency medical technician.
Have you ever put a leg cast on a coworker just for fun?
Not for fun, no.
Because what happens, Phil? A lot of these EMTs sit around and they put on casts on each other just to see what it looks like.
And apparently,
why?
You go home and you kill small animals
because
just
they don't
kicks
do
off
because they
it
got
also.
Nothing to do, you know.
All right, well, I don't know
apparently
what we're doing
here.
Apparently
go home and you kill small animals just to get a kick off of it to see, you know, what thrill you might get.
So what if I do?
Because you sound like a masochist.
So what if I do? Why am I a masochist?
What do you mean? Do you enjoy the pain you inflict?
I don't enjoy giving pain. Do people enjoy giving me pain when they go, I don't want to have a needle? How many
they're
times do they...
They're not physical pain on you.
Jesus. Oh, please.
They are not injuring
you.
All right, thank you for calling. 1-800-449-8686. Deborah, go ahead.
Yes, I really think that you are a sorry dentist. I've been to several dentists, and I've never had anybody with an attitude like yours.
Well, let me ask, why do you go to so many different dentists?
To find a good one, because there's so many bad ones out there.
Because you're afraid of needles, that's why. And that's why
no,
people go from dentist to dentist, because they're afraid maybe some guy's got a, you know.
Well, why do people go from dentist to dentist? Because maybe they move?
Well, they want someone who won't use a needle. They got some topical anesthetic.
Can I explain myself? Can you let me explain, please?
We are
there are
have
good,
to. I know why you
there
do.
There are good dentists in this world, and there are bad. And believe me, I've had a couple of bad ones, and I've got
I'll
a real good one.
I bet you've complained.
Right now.
I bet you complain all the way to the ADA, don't you?
No, I sure don't, sir. The thing I can't understand is how can you call yourself a professional when you contact?
Ma'am, I am board certified in dental surgery.
That's fine.
I taught
but why
at
in the
University
world
of Southern California Dental
that
School.
That kind of pain on a patient.
When
why would you do that?
That's not ethical. It was a knee-jerk reaction from someone that was trying
break.
To provoke me. They were
give
trying
me
to provoke
a break.
Me.
There ain't a dentist in this world that'd have a knee-jerk reaction like that.
You want to Well,
you
I
bet.
Can certainly give you the names of the members of the Alliance for Dental Progress. Many dentists who are sick and tired of listening to people like you complain about the needle. So
well,
you go
you
from
know
one dentist to the
bud?
Next until you find some witch doctor that'll pull your teeth,
let me tell you
an herbal
buddy.
Application or something.
I
you
have
probably
never
regret. Are you one of these people who wants nitrous?
Well,
I have my
talk.
Shots, but that doesn't mean I got to like them.
See, you are afraid of needles.
No, I'm not afraid of needles,
right,
sir.
Let
I just
me
don't
ask.
Care for the pain of them.
There is no pain.
Oh, give me a break.
Mr. Henry,
like
do you
I
get
said,
shots?
I've got a lot of dental work in my mouth.
I'll bet you do.
And I have had several shots, but, you know
you're indicting yourself, ma'am. The reason why you have so much dental work is your teeth are so rotten because you don't go to dentists.
No, you're wrong.
Because you're afraid of needles.
You're wrong. My God.
Well, no, I mean,
no,
I don't...
People,
you're indicting
like
yourself.
You give the dental profession a bad name. Because basically...
Well,
you're the one that makes the child afraid to go to the dentist. Therefore, they grow up to be an adult to be afraid of dentists.
I'm the leading dentist in Southern California for bleach work.
Oh,
I bet you're the one that...
You're
I bet
a
you,
cosmetic
you know what?
Dentist.
No, I bet you badger the dentist to give you nitrous, don't you? That's it.
I do not.
All right.
Never had
Hold
it.
Hold on, Deborah. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Dr. Jim Sattler joins me from the Alliance for Dental Progress. They have proposed legislation along the lines of national recognition among insurance commissioners that dental rage, that is, dentists who are forced into a state of anger over the continual complaints of dental patients over the needle and the pain and so on and so forth. And a lot of people are asking, before we go back to our phones, Dr. Sattler, why be in a profession where people are going to complain?
Oh, hold on. I heard that question.
No, but why be in a profession where people are going to complain about the pain?
Hold on. I heard that question. Mr. Henry, you go to dentists, do you not?
Of course. I go to a dentist.
You go to a dentist, so you don't fly from one dentist to the next like the last lady I talked to, who's probably got breath like a, you know, we used to say she's got a mouth like the Romanian army spent the night in it, you know, where it's just the stench is from the kimono dragon stench, because there is a fair amount of progressive halitosis and gum disease. There is probably stage 4 or 5 decay. And there is gum line atrophy. There is enamel atrophy. And then they come to us and they complain about the needle. Now, I had a woman who came to see me.
Now, this was the first time you recognized that you had a problem with these people?
I haven't. The first time was, I mentioned, about 7 years ago, a woman who had come in for a crown on a root canal. And the tooth was rotted clean out of her skull. And she would not shut up about the pain. And I found myself getting almost, it was a pleasurable feeling, I remember, allowing the crown to slip down her throat. I let her.
You let her swallow a gold crown?
It was, yes. And I knew it felt good for me to see that happen. And she choked, and I said, it's all right, and we got it out of her. But I realized then that either I've got a big problem or my patients have a problem. And I came to the conclusion we both do. I am getting angry, justifiably so, over big, strong, grown men with chest hair and muscles coming in and saying, Doctor, I hope I don't have to have any, you know, this kind of thing. Please don't give me a shot, so on and so forth.
Well,
what?
Well, the fact that you dropped a gold crown down a woman's throat because she was complaining is, she could have choked to death on that.
No, she wasn't going to choke to death. What I wanted to do is, if you want to know, I wanted to put something else down her throat. And I don't mean to be crude, but I...
Well, it is crude, sir.
I'm sorry?
It is crude.
Well, forgive me, but I'm trying to make a point about something that's suffered by a great many dentists, Mr. Henry.
All right, but you can make your point probably in a much better way. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Joe on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, I'm Joe Riggs from Kansas City, and I'm a registered nurse, and I am professional,
good
and
for
I
you.
Certainly do have a code of ethics. And this is like saying that every time I start an IV and someone complains about a fear of an IV needle, I would jam it through their arm. I think what I'm hearing
you
is
might.
Just
you might. If you heard it too much, you might. And,
no,
and I would say to you, Joe, if you're
not,
a professional, you don't know when you're ready to crack. And I think
if I reach that point, it's my responsibility as a professional to know when I'm ready to crack. And because I have respect for human dignity of my patients, I acknowledge their fear.
What is dignified
because fears
about?
Are real
what
and
is dignified about somebody who's had needles their whole life crying like a sniveling grandmother because she's going to get another shot?
I am the professional person. It is not my job to question the fears of my patients.
Wait
it
a
is
second.
My job to deal effectively with it or to not practice.
Wait a minute. You're practice. You're
I
a nurse.
You
wait, you're a, what do you mean practice? You're a nurse. Practice what? Practice getting out the wooden tongue to practice for the doctor?
Practice nursing. I have
wait a minute. A she's a registered nurse.
I have a PhD in nursing, as a matter of fact.
Oh.
I am a nurse educator.
Man, I got a PhD in yoga.
I have been an intensive care nurse.
Wait a minute,
I got to
jump in here, Joe. I want to jump in here. Do you not have respect for registered nurses?
I'm a dentist.
But you work with dental hygienists. You work with professionals that are not doctors.
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, why give this woman a hard time?
You know something? I went to school a total of 12 years still, not only for my doctorate, I also went to my master's thesis.
21 years.
I'm board certified, and I've got a golf tournament named after me. Hello?
That is really a recommendation for your professionalism, is having a golf tournament named after you. I have gone to school 21 years.
No, I don't think you do. They don't have the Joe Golf Tournament in Kansas City, do they?
I have a PhD in nursing.
Oh, boy.
I am an educator, and I am very knowledgeable.
So, Joe, this is Phil Henry, Joe. Let me ask you.
Yes.
You have given many an IV. You have placed many a needle in an arm for IVs. You have given many a needle into an arm for a blood test.
Catheters.
Yeah,
and men seem to whine about that.
And people will complain about this. Does this get on your nerve?
Wait a minute. You're asking a nurse. Am I the guest?
Yes, sir, but...
Well, then can I be asked the question?
And I am the caller.
Yeah, but I'm higher up than you because I'm the guest.
Wait a second.
I would disagree with that. I would say you have some ego issues.
No,
but you need to not practice if you cannot handle your temper. And to me, that's the end of it.
Hey, 21 years of school and you're still not a doctor?
Sir,
yeah.
Could you be I could be,
right,
but
okay,
I'm
look,
a nurse.
Go ahead, Joe.
Can I say one thing?
Yes, go ahead, Joe.
21 years.
That's right, and I'm a very smart nurse.
You sound.
As
go ahead,
are many
Joe.
Nurses.
Go ahead, Joe.
You know, it's just totally unprofessional of you, in my opinion, to not acknowledge pain. Pain is whatever the person says it is. You do not know if
I'm
people are
in pain.
I'm giving
them a shot for the pain. I'm giving them a shot for the pain.
People have
what do you want from
universal
me?
Fear of needles. It's a very... I mean, it's almost universal.
All right, let me ask Dr. Sadler a question. Dr. Sadler, you found yourself losing patience with people that were complaining about needles and dental chairs.
Mr. Hendry, and to the lady on the line, the dental profession suffers a higher suicide rate than any other medical practice. The reason is the perception that people have of my colleagues and I as being the inflictors of pain. We've done everything that we can for these people, and yet they still cry and snivel. Now, if I, in order not to throw a $15,000 x-ray machine through a window, jam a needle in a little deeper just to get a little kick.
No.
What are you trying to tell me?
You need to go find something else to do with your life.
Right. Okay, Joe, thank you very much.
Nobody sees people in any worse condition than a nurse in the hospital.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dr. Kildare.
Okay.
Anyway, Joe, thank you. You're very dismissive and derisive of nurses.
I'm lying. I didn't understand.
You're very dismissive and derisive of nurses. I wonder why.
I'm not. I have nurses that work for me. When they call up and start talking like they're Dr. Zorba on Ben Casey, you know, remember the guy with the fright wig that did the whole man, woman?
Yeah, I know that guy.
They suddenly you think they're running the hospital. The highest suicide rate among medical practitioners, dentists, because people... We can't do enough for people. I know, and as a matter of fact, I'm sitting here in a pool hall, and I carry around with me. I've got a portable drill, and here, did you hear that?
What is that?
It's a handheld drill. It's a dental drill that you can use at any time. And the guys in here, I can assure you, they don't care about needles. And there are many evenings. If a fight breaks out, I'm right down here at Jackson Family Pool in Canoga Park, and there's many a night when a fight will break out, and a guy needs some dental work, and I'm not kidding you. I can use this drill system, all right, and I can perform work on these guys without anesthetic, and it's so gratifying to know.
You're fixing the teeth of guys that on a work night are in a bar fight in a bar someplace. And it's gratifying?
It's a hell of a lot more gratifying than having some 17-year-old Sherwood Country Club brat with about $50,000 worth of steel in her face and saying, ow. You know, if she's going to say ow when someone puts something in her mouth, she ought to wait until her husband...
All right, I do not want to have these comments on my show.
Mr. Hendry,
I do not want these things to be addressed in this manner, sir. And your manner, I might add, bespeaks someone who is, you know, someone who haunts pool halls and bars on a work night.
Oh, so you're better than me, is that it?
No, you know what, something? I go home to my family on a work night, man. I'm not out at a pool hall. 1-800-449-8686. Lisa, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I think he's drinking because earlier it was he didn't call her a brat and there was only $7,000 worth of braces.
I'm speaking of two different women. I'm speaking of two different people. My family practice.
I am terrified of dentists, but it has nothing to do with needles. Absolutely nothing. And I have found a wonderful dentist, and I've been with him for years.
Well, why are you afraid of dentists?
It's the smell, it's the sound, it's not being in control.
It's a phobia. It's a phobia. Like, I have a fear of heights.
Oh, look, Mr. Henry, don't start making her feel better but because you're afraid of... A fear of heights is understandable. If you fall, you'll die. A fear of a Novocaine needle? This is nuts.
You know, well, let me ask you this. If you hate your job, the patients, the whining, then why do you do it?
If they don't like the dentist, why do they come to one? See? They need me more, and all I need is a drill and a cotton ball to stop the bleeding, and I'm one hell of a dentist.
So you're pretty much in it for the money because you sound miserable.
And listen to this, Lisa. Bet you that makes you nervous, doesn't it?
No.
Okay, so what's the point?
Well, does it make you nervous?
No, because you're an ass, and asses don't scare me.
Ow. That doesn't make you nervous.
What is the point, sir?
Well, I'll tell you what the point is. If you don't like needles, you can go down here to Long Beach.
I donate blood 3 times a year. I'm not afraid of needles.
You go down here to Long Beach. They got some credit dentists that work down there. These guys are top-notch. They'll deal with a cavity by filing your teeth down because they've got more experience filing down the buck teeth of those Chinamen that are coming off of every freighter in from Harbin.
Is this caller even real?
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm telling you, Mr. Henry, that the Alliance for Dental Progress, noting the suicides among dentists, is tired of it.
If this is really a true call,
Are you really a caller?
I would ask, because I'm kind of agreeing with the caller, are you putting us on?
I beg your pardon, sir.
Are you making a joke?
What have I said that is a joke? The fact that I've got colleagues that are killing themselves, does the lady find that funny?
No, I was just wanting you to be at the front of the line if this is sincere.
You want to be at the front of the line for what?
No, you.
The front of the line for what? For you?
No.
What
are you talking? I've got my dentist.
I wasn't speaking in terms of dental matters.
No, you were speaking in terms of suicide.
Did you ever see the movie Marathon Man?
No.
In that film, Dustin Hoffman plays a writer who runs afoul of a Nazi who worked in a concentration camp as a dentist. Now, you can well imagine the sadism. And yet, when I go to see that film and I watch Laurence Olivier drilling Dustin Hoffman's teeth without the use of anesthetic, there's a release. I get a release.
Well, then, obviously, you're not happy in your position. Obviously, you are not happy if you have to watch a movie to get a release.
You're getting a kick out of watching some sadist drill a guy's teeth?
And you're getting excited playing a little drill in the bar in front of me?
No, ma'am. I do work on the guys. These are real men around here. They get in a bar fight, teeth come out, I drill them, they're done, they go home.
All right, the teeth come out, you drill the teeth that come out?
No, I do not. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm just going to play the drill now.
What are we doing here?
Well, she doesn't want to believe what I... Hey, listen. You remember the line, is it safe? Is it safe, Lisa?
All right, Lisa, thank you very much. Let me go to Yvonne. Yvonne, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
How you doing there, Phil?
Good, sir.
Yeah, I was just listening. I'm up here in Canada here, and okay, I'm not a doctor, and I'm nothing special. I drive a truck for a living, but I've been listening to your radio
show. Ever been into bars?
Oh, sir, I'm not calling to talk about bars. If you've got a mental problem, sir, address your mental problem.
Well, that's side work. I do a lot of bar work.
I'm talking to Phil right now, sir. Give me a little respect.
I'm the guest. You're supposed to talk to me. I'm the guest. What are you laughing about?
Well, Phil, I hope forward all this information to the young lady's lawyers for him admitting earlier.
That's a very good point, Yvonne.
Yeah, because he admitted earlier that he got off.
Listen to this. What's that the sound of, Yvonne? That's a Chinaman having his buck teeth sanded down.
Well, I think you're going to be looking for a lot of teeth for yourself there in the future, my friend, if you got that attitude, that's for sure.
Here's the sound of a Chinaman having his buck teeth sanded down.
Ah, so, ah, so.
Here's the sound after he had his teeth sanded down.
Ah, foo.
Are you an idiot or something, man? I'm trying to find out what you're doing with this lawsuit. This man's got a good point. You ought to, I'm going to take the tape of this and forward it to your attorneys.
Hey, my attorneys?
I mean, to the young lady's attorneys.
Hey, doctor, can I ask you a question, please? Can I ask you a question, doctor?
Certainly.
Okay.
I would use scope.
Now, as far as, do you believe in wife beating?
Do you believe in
wife beating?
Yes, I do. Very much so.
Okay, why is it? Because it's their fault? They made
you
do it?
Yes, they made me do it. My wife makes me do it. I know that. Hey, Yvonne, is it safe? Is it safe? You know what? You're afraid of needles.
All right, listen.
Especially Canadian, huh?
And we'd have fun with you up there.
They got dentists up there yet? I was thinking of opening up a practice up in Moose Jaw.
Will you turn that off?
Sorry.
Dr. Jim Sadler. They're sanding down Chinaman's teeth. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio's worst nightmare.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We can turn off the pool hall now. Okay. We have a feature on our show called Phil's Funniest Lines, and I think for my taste, one of the lines in that last hour was, you can go down here to Long Beach and work with one of these credit dentists who have experience filing down the teeth of Chinamen just off the boat from from Harbin. Now, hold on for a minute. Yeah?
Phil, it's David.
Yes, David.
See, that's funny, huh?
I thought it was funny, yeah.
Well, it's racist.
I don't see...
Filing down the buck teeth of Chinaman just in from Harbin is racist. Now, they're dusting off the hot seat for me. And when I get done with you and your show, if you are still involving yourself in this kind of questionable racist content, you will have a Chinaman's chance in hell the next time you come up for renewal in your contract. You're a racist. Plain and simple.
Yes, Dr. Sadler.
Is this Mr. Hall?
Yes, it is, Dr. Sadler.
Mr. Hall, I was going to say the same thing. You treat me the same way. He will have a Chinaman's chance.
Yeah, I got it already, okay?
Thanks.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, there's a reason why we did a bit about Dennis tonight, and I'll get into it in a minute, but I first want to wish a speedy recovery to one of the great guardian angels of this radio show, a spokesperson, if you will, for our show. She looks after us here at the Premier Radio Networks, Amir Forrester, who is at home with a busted arm. She rode a horse. The horse didn't like it. It threw her off. And that's got to be painful. And that's, you get thrown from a horse, man, your life, it must be passing in front of your eyes. I briefly, sort of tasted death as I rode a horse in Minnesota years ago with a girlfriend at the time, and the horse that I was on, they always give me the old horse that's ready to die. His name is something like Zeus, and he farts just continuously and dumps huge loads on the path behind you and doesn't care what I want him to do, figures I'm a novice, figures I'm just some yahoo, some dude fresh in from the city, which I am. And if I say giddy up, he slows down. If I say slow down, he will go at Seabiscuit speed. And that's exactly what he did as we rode this horse pleasantly through the countryside of Minnesota one day, and all of a sudden Zeus took off with the other horses, because the guy leading the thing said,
all right, now let's canter. For those of you who know how to canter...
I don't know what you mean by canter. What, singing in a synagogue? Is that what you...
No. Huh? What?
So the horses take off, and I'm like, whoa! I'm doing all that stuff I saw on Rawhide. It ain't working. And a thing takes off, and I felt myself getting, you know, kind of pushed forward on this thing. I thought for sure I was going to do a Christopher Reeve right there in the middle of this pastoral setting. And the next thing you know, you're going to see me on TV with a shaved head and the little thing in the throat going,
I'm really happy for every day that I'm alive. And I hope that other people can be... as happy as me someday.
I'm kidding around, Mr. Reeve. No one admires you more than I. I just don't want to sound like Darth Vader. That's all I don't want to do. I don't want to come on with the iron mask going,
it was a horse accident. It was, but every day.
Can you imagine if Darth Vader was a good guy? In other words, he wore that mask, but he wanted to like volunteer at schools and stuff. I
would like to help the children.
Yeah, tell you what, Mr. Vader.
Lord Vader.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lord Vader. You know, you scare the kids.
I don't see why. I have good intention.
I understand you do, and...
all that dark side stuff is crap.
Yeah, I understand that, but you're freaking everybody with the cape. Do you gotta wear a cape? I mean, what's that about?
Well, I can remove the cape.
I'm sure he's casual now. Darth Vader is a good guy. Now, there's one people ought to do. You guys that did that whole Troopers thing where they pretended like they were cops going in and busting Munchkins and stuff and Ewoks? Darth Vader as a good guy, volunteering at bake sales, you know, he's in the men's club at the church, and they're all like, oh, boy, here he comes.
Hey, how you doing? When's the fish fry?
Crossing guard. Cats, you know. Mommy, I don't want to go. Come on, Mr. Vader's not. He scares me. I don't want to go down there.
Good morning, Melissa.
Look, Vader, take off the cape, okay?
Well, you can't tell.
I said to take it off. You're scaring the kids. It's like that National Lampoon bit about Mr. Rogers. Anyway. My boys went and had their wisdom teeth. Two oldest boys had the wisdom teeth out today. And this was an interesting thing. You know, this is a lesson in parenting. It was a lesson for me, and maybe some of you do the same thing. See, I'm a stepdad. Now, I've often given this speech, but I want to give it again because hopefully we can do something about the bad image that a lot of step-parents have. As a matter of fact, well, I don't want to tip what we're doing, but let me just say this. I'm involved in a creative endeavor that will address the very real problems that step-parents have. Now, traditionally in our culture, step-parents have been viewed as molesters, abusers, drug addicts, the scumbag that mommy's sleeping with, right? And that's all fine, but the reality is, I got to tell you, since I've become a stepdad, I've met others, and there is a network of us, millions and millions and millions of us, who do a, frankly, and when I say a thankless job, what I mean is this. It's a gig where you're not exactly going to be getting the kids kissing your rear ends until you're dead. Honest to God. Kids want to love their daddy, and they want to love their mommy. And a stepdad and a stepmom, they love, but they're not going to look at them as the big influence in their life until you, the step-parent, are dead and buried. I guarantee that if I did any good in the lives of the four kids that I've been entrusted to try to, you know, guide properly, maybe they'll, you know, recognize it sometime in their 30s. Because kids are kids, man. They're into their, you know, they're into their lives. They're into what they want to be into. And the fact that their mom and dad are divorced, and the fact that it's kind of a drag, and other kids, their parents are together, and they're going to have to deal with their anger about that, and they're going to have to deal with all their trauma and neurosis about that, and the fact that they're drinking and snorting, you know, lines of Ajax over that. And when they finally do straighten their lives out, and maybe they look back on their life and they say, you know, I had a stepdad. He wasn't a bad guy. You know, he took me up to golf and stuff, gave me $20 every now and again to buy a fifth. Had me go to the store for him to buy pack, you know, cartons of cigarettes, and I could get, you know, I could go ahead and get those Manimals or those, what are those little yogurt cups? I could buy those. And maybe someday they'll say, you know, he wasn't a bad guy. I guarantee we, the step-parents of America, unlike the parents who do good jobs, and the kids, you know, recognize it as they go through college in their 20s and But a step-parent, man, he don't get any credit at all until he's croaked. And I mean dead. Unless you live long enough. Maybe you're now in your 80s and they're in their 40s or something. And they're like, you know, you weren't a bad guy. Anyway, so here was the deal. The two guys had to go in for their wisdom teeth. Wisdom teeth extraction's a drag, and I didn't say anything about it. I had four impacted wisdom teeth myself taken out when I was in my 20s, and it hurt like hell, man. I thought my head was going to come off. I literally thought my skull was split in half, and all the Johnny Walker mixed with codeine in the world ain't going to do nothing about that. Just the codeine itself works. That's what they were given back in the day, codeine. Now they give you Vicodin. So one of them comes to me and says, can I put off my wisdom tooth extraction for a couple of weeks? Why? Well, this is going to be a big party weekend. Well, I know, man, but, I mean, you know, I'm a senior in high school, and there's all kinds of stuff that's going on, and, you know, mom didn't even check with me, didn't check my schedule. And, well, what's going on, man? Well, there's some stuff going on at SC, and there's some stuff over here and over there. I go, dude, look, I get it, but the fact is, you've been putting this off for 4, 5, 6 months. There's already infection going on back there. You were there when Mom made the appointment.
Well, yeah, she still didn't check with me. She just made the appointment. She didn't check with my schedule.
I go, hey, look, at this point in your life, every day there's something going on every weekend. When are you going to have free time? When are you not?
Well, I was just saying, maybe she could have made it early in the week so I'm not going to look like a chipmunk.
Because he knows his face is going to swell up, right? So here's what I said. I said, you know what? You're old enough, man. You're 18. You're old enough. Still living at home, so you got to live under the rules. But you're old enough to make your decisions about your life. But I'm old enough also to make decisions about my life.
Yeah, what's that supposed to mean?
Well, what it means is, how can I entrust an automobile that's at least in my name to a guy that takes such cavalier care of his health? In other words, if you don't care about some raging infection in the back of your throat, then how are you going to be driving a car?
What are you talking about? I'll be fine.
But, so I can't let you use the car because I can't, you know, if the lease is in my name. And on top of that, you were about to invest in a very significant piece of education for you at the University of Southern freaking Ding Dang, California, which ain't cheap. And I don't know whether or not it's going to be a wise investment to invest in a guy that's going to go out and kill himself from gangrene of the gum.
Oh, I get it. Okay. Well, I guess if the choice is between a car and an education, I guess I'll take go in and get my wisdom teeth out.
I go, that's a wise choice. I don't think there's any question that I would much rather have my wisdom teeth out than not have a car and an education at the University of Southern, my good Lord, California.
Okay.
Slam. Yeah, and I said, I opened the door, I said, hey.
Yeah?
Would you please come back here and close that door properly? And he did. Dude sucked it up. But you see, I'm the jackball that's dishing out the discipline here, right? I'm the guy that's trying to make, and I'm trying to be sensible about it, right? See, if you want to get right down to the bottom line about step-parents, and the very name itself conjures images of Cinderella and the wicked stepsisters, and just it ain't cool, right? We're doing it strictly for the love of the job, because we're not getting nothing out of it, man. I guarantee you that. Like, in other words, it ain't the chip off the old block, right? Nobody's got my name. Nobody is saying, hey, that's a Hendry kid. Nobody is saying, boy, his dad sure did a good job. You know, they're going to say, well, they're going to say his stepdad did a good job. It's going to be the father and the mother. Am I complaining? No, I'm not. No, I'm not complaining. Save your breath. Save your emails. I'm not complaining. I get it. That was the job. But all I'm saying is, the next time you think of stepdads and stepmoms, I know personally, I sit down and have cocktails because we invite them over to the house. I got my good friend Cindy and my good friend Roy, who's raised a girl as if she was his own daughter since she was like 12. And Cindy's got two boys that she's raised as if they were her own kids since they were 4 and 5. And we sit around, we talk about it. It's like, cool, huh? He's going off to college? Yeah, great. You know, I mean, all right, well, see you in the next life. I'm just saying they're not all bad people, okay? Just give them a break, folks. From me to you, this holiday season, remember your stepdad in all of your thoughts. Should they have a stepdad day? Sure. Why not? I'll take it. But it's got to be in the middle of the week or something, man. None of this Sunday crap. I want a stepdad day, and I want it on Friday or Monday. How about that? All right, 1-800-449 8686, you're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We've got an interesting show in terms of Life Imitates Phil's, because there have been a tremendous number of living examples of life imitating something we did on our show 2, 3, 4 years before. And we've got a number of Life Imitates Phils today. We also want to dig into the Donald Trump, Michael Jackson, and our good friend Jeff Jagosinski, their situations. The assistant head coach, the someday Jeff, the tight end coach for the Atlanta Falcons, has got gated community problems down in Atlanta. Well, shut my mouth. It's all coming up here on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I don't know if you know this, and by the way, we have Phil's mailbag tonight and a Life Imitates Phil, a couple of them coming up, and we have a How to Read a News Story. This one's going to be good. This is about this gay group. Excuse me. Check that. Take two. All right. This is about that Christian group down there. They don't want any gays at Disneyland. But it's not really about any specific Christian group. It's just us, you know, it's our time to bash a religion, and we thought we'd pick on the Christians this week. No, it's more than that. It's how to read a news story, how to read a news story coming up. Why do we call it that, by the way? We call it that because you just can't read the news anymore, man. You've got to know how to read it. You've got to know exactly what it is the reporter is actually saying. There is no news that is objective any longer. It always has a spin, and so we try to help you pull the truth from an obviously spun story. Now, before we get into any of that, we have Kobe Bryant news. Kobe Bryant has been ordered to enter a plea by May the 10th. He must plead either guilty or not guilty. Maybe you weren't aware of the fact that Mr. Bryant had not entered a plea. Well, he hadn't. He hadn't entered a plea, and you can't start the trial unless you enter a plea. Now, they were able to not enter a plea because he's got very experienced attorneys who are telling the judge, well, we have to go through a few more of these depositions. We've got to see whether the nose hair in Mr. Bryant was, in fact, in his nose at the time, or whether it was he had his entire nose shoved up someone's rear end at the time, or was it up Phil Jackson's, or was Phil Jackson's nose up his? So we all got to figure that out. Then the attorney says, and Your Honor, I have to go and railroad another man. I have to go and make another woman look bad. And I have this, and I got to do that. So, in other words, it's the usual slow wheels of justice, unless, of course, and it's all in favor of Kobe because he's able to play the season. You understand what I'm saying? He's able to play the season because the trial hasn't started. As opposed to, let's say, your average run-of-the-mill man accused of rape, or let's say even a Title II felony, a possession offense. Well, that guy's sitting in a federal jail slam until he rots, until rats start to make a nest out of his skull. In other words, the rest of us. You and me, where are we? Where are we today? We're sitting in a jail cell. That's where we are. All right, Kobe Bryant must enter this plea. Now, you ask, why hasn't he entered a plea? Well, as I said, it may be to stall for time. However, he could very well have entered a plea of not guilty. Now you say, yes, I know that, Phil, but if he pleads not guilty, a trial must be held within 6 months. And at the time that he was charged, a trial held within 6 months would have cut directly into his playing time for the Lakers. And to that I say, aha, yes, but you can waive your right to a speedy trial. You can waive that. You can say to the judge, not guilty, Your Honor. All right, Mr. Bryant, you are pleading not guilty. Yes. All right, then trial will be set within 6 months, as per your constitutional rights to a speedy trial. Your Honor, I would like to waive my right to that speedy trial. Oh, okay. Well, in that case, that'll let you play the whole season, and we'll get around to it in August. Yes, sir, that's the whole idea. All right, thanks a lot. But they didn't do that. I'll tell you why they didn't do it. And this is going to make a lot of you Laker fans feel a little sick in that part of your stomach where it can go either way, either up or down. But when it comes out, it ain't going to be looking good. The reason why they did it is his attorneys are looking at every possible way they can get him to believably plead not guilty. They're looking at every way this guy can come out of this thing not guilty. Not guilty. Not guilty. Because right now, maybe what they're looking at is a case folder that has this guy in handcuffs, shackled to a dungeon wall for years, for all we know. So he's got a real smart lawyer. She's not entering a plea. She doesn't want to enter a plea of not guilty, only to have the guy come out guilty. They didn't know whether he was guilty or not when he could have entered that plea. She didn't know. Kobe Bryant probably told her what happened, and she probably calculated in her very, very, very accomplished brain, this guy's as guilty as freaking sin. Now my job is to find out how I can make him not guilty. We ain't entering a plea of not guilty. We're not entering any plea until I look at this thing six ways to sunset. And then you say to me, well, Phil, suppose she comes up with squat. Suppose she comes up with a case whereby somehow, some way, they're going to nail him to the wall. Well, guess what else she's doing right now? She sent feelers out to that DA is what she's doing, and she's having maybe having Cobra's plea down to something a little more palatable, and I don't know what the hell that would be. Is there such a thing as, like, second-degree sexual battery or some crap like that? She's going to try to get this guy off on some lighter charge. Now, if you want to know what's going on, that's exactly what's going on. Now, you can be a basketball fan, and you can sit there with large pictures of Kobe scotch-taped to your wall as you wear your Zuba pants and your beer-stained Mickey Mouse T-shirt and just worship at the altar of all that is Kobe's. But, the writing on the wall, baby, it's a cold world blood. And right now, he's got a real good attorney, and she's tried to take this woman, the accuser, she's tried to spill all kinds of sewage on her. It hasn't exactly stuck. The woman's gotten death threats. The woman has had to move from state to state. They've done their best. This thing's going to go ahead to a trial unless Pamela Mackey can get this thing reduced. And that's what she's trying to do right now. Trial? There will be no trial. That's my prediction. No trial. Kobe will plead to a lesser charge. It'll be over. He can move on with his life. He can become a free agent. And this time next year, he'll be in the proud uniform of a Sacramento King. Now then. 1-800-449-8686. That's the facts, Jack. That's the scoop. That's the way I see it here on Sports Crap. Sports Crap with Phil Hendry will return. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, another prediction that I made that has come true. Then we have another Life Imitates Phil. We got two Life Imitates Phils, I think. And then we got the mailbag, and it's nonstop. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, Life Imitates Phil. And you're going to be very interested to know that Life, in this case, is the ABC Television Network and Uri Geller. That's right. That's coming up on the Phil Hendry Show, Life Imitates Phil. And let me tell you something. Many people think it's self-aggrandizing to talk about how one may be the originator of an idea or one is being, quote, ripped off, end quote, by others. But one has to, because if you don't, nobody else is going to do it for you, folks. And there comes a time in life when you got to stick your nose above the fray and say, hey, hold on for a minute, man, I own that. Or at least I was the originator of that idea. You just got to speak up for yourself, because ain't nobody going to do it for you. It's time now, though, for How to Read a News Story here on the Phil Hendry Show, brought to you by Cavco Mufflers. Cavco Mufflers, with 16 locations throughout the greater metropolitan area. I just made that up, but it doesn't sound good. One of these days, I'll say, brought to you by Don Julio Tequila. Yes, Don Julio, for all your dental needs. All right, How to Read a News Story. This story is out of Tallahassee, Florida. A Christian group said Thursday that police must do a better job of enforcing Florida's public indecency laws during the upcoming gay days at Walt Disney World. Now, if you're not familiar, Walt Disney World does devote... How many days is it, Janice? Is it two or three? But there are days in which gay Americans are invited.
Yeah, I think it's one day for each park.
Yeah, yeah, and you're invited to enjoy yourself at the park you know what it is? It's like saying, here's a day where you can be yourself. You can be who you are, and Disney World will let you do that. I think it's admirable, and that's coming from a guy who has, you know, who got a private part of his body assaulted with a bag full of ball bearings by a kid in that very park. I'm joking. We made it up. Anyway, a Christian action group, it's called the Christian Action Network, set up an exhibit of explicit photos outside the state capitol saying they were taken during previous Gay Days events at Disney World. That's what they said. And if they're Christians, they can't be lying, so they must have been, right? Martin Maurer, a spokesman for the Christian Action Network, said many of the photos captured gay men committing sexual acts in public. The group displayed about a half a dozen poster-sized photographs of men exposing their groins and buttocks that, Maurer says, were taken inside theme parks and around the Orlando area during gay days. And he went on to say he wants state lawmakers to put pressure on the Florida Attorney General and police to enforce public indecency laws during Gay Day celebration at Disney World in June. All right, how do you read this story? This is the story. Now, the average American, the average person reads it and says, wow, sexual acts in public during these Christians, man, they're leaning on these gay people. I mean, they just want to be who they are. Well, that's not a valid point of view. Or you may say, well, a lot of these gay people are committing sexual acts and they shouldn't. Even if I'm not biased, I don't think they should. And I suppose that's not a bad point of view either. But here's the truth. They do not have any photographs of men committing sexual acts in Disney World during Gay Days events. They do not possess one. They're lying. We took a look at the pictures. They're on the website. You can go and see them for yourself. Some of the pictures are taken from a gay porn site. I mean, this is how low some of these people stoop. It's fine. I mean, we weren't born yesterday. Just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't mean you're not crawling around down in the scum along with everybody else, right? A lot of these Christians are addicted to porn. You know that, don't you? That's the latest that's come out. I swear to God, I'm not kidding you. Born-again Christians have got an addiction to porn. We tried to do a bit on it, and I noticed it didn't get a lot of phone action, and the people that did call were kind of admitting to it. They don't possess any such pictures at all. They've went to a gay porn site. The pictures they do have of gay men at Disney World, the ones that you can identify as being in the park, the most sexual shows two men kissing. And nobody, and I mean nobody, when you say men committing sex acts, nobody is thinking of kissing when you say that. So that's a very charged phrase, and they know that too. Christian Bullcrap Network is what they ought to call it. Ain't that CBS, the Christian Bullcrap System? And they knew that, but they put the pictures up anyway, because what they're encouraging and what they want, what this Christian Action Network wants, is they want a police harassment of gay people in Orlando during this Gay Days thing. They want the cops to go in there and bust some heads, if you'll pardon the expression. They want the coppers to go in there and start busting them batons, like the good Southern cops that they are. You know, most Americans, when you say sex act between men, most Americans think it's two guys doing it Pluto style. They think it's Goofy and Pluto doing it the way Goofy and Pluto would have to do it. So they do not have these pictures. The other pictures that are, and frankly, folks, there's only like three out of these, what are they, like Janice, maybe 12 or 13 pictures. Out of those 13, there's probably three or four that you could say are at Disney World, because you can see the little signs like, you know, mine train this way. The others are simply mocking gay men. In other words, there's one guy who's obviously affecting a very gay, swishy walk. Three other guys dressed in hot pants sailor style. But there's no bared buttocks, and there are no bared groins at Disney World during Gay Days. Now, why am I even bringing this up? Because I want to give these people publicity? I don't care whether they're going to get their publicity. The thing moved on a major news site. The reason why I bring it up is I hit upon this idea. Maybe this is a way of going at it. You know, religions have to earn respect just like people. Did you know that? I bet you didn't think of it that way, did you? Religions have to earn respect the same way people do. I ain't talking about what Jesus did on a mountain. He did that. Okay, so I got respect for him. But just because you say you have a religion doesn't mean you get to be respected. You got to earn it. And this doesn't earn respect from me any more than a bunch of ragheads blowing up a bunch of children and women earns respect for the Muslim faith from me. Yeah, but Phil, comes the usual call. You can't judge our religion based on the actions of others. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Why can't I? Because most of us are really good. Okay, I have the vivid proof of the bad actions of your people, and I got to take your word for it that you do good stuff. Is that the choice you're giving me here? Is that what you're saying? I got the vivid proof of you Christians and you Muslims doing horrific things, and when it comes to the good stuff you do, I got to take your word for it. And if I don't, guess what happens? Phone calls pour in about how I'm bashing people. If I don't, in other words, behave in a way that we wouldn't ask the average child to go through life, we would never ask our own children to just take people's words for anything. I would ask my kids, as you would ask your kids, to be discriminating when it comes to the information that they're given, to be intelligent with the way that they collate it, and to come up with a reasonable and logical conclusion based upon it. We would never ask our kids to say, just take somebody's word for it. And yet, if you do a talk show, you're asked to take people's word for it. If I'm here disseminating entertainment and every now and again a truthful word or two, I'm not allowed to do that. I have to say this. I have to say all Christians are good and Muslims are good and it's a really great religion. It's just a few of them that act like a bunch of jackballs because, well, everybody's psychotic and it just, you know, it happens everywhere. Even the gays got bad people. Well, I don't play that. Never have and I never will. That's what I call talk show 101, man. We don't do that around here, all right? As a matter of fact, that's why I hate talk radio. Despise it with every fiber of my being. With every possible fiber. With every crawling, deep-seated need to rip off the very foundations of the people that I... Oh. Oh, I feel better now. I had to put on my Chamber of Commerce music. Nestled in the foothills of Southern California, Glendale posts a population of some 600,000 people. During the winter months, citrus is exported. Okay, I feel good. So, just remember that one, man. Win or lose, whether I'm here or whether I'm not, you don't get respect just because you say you're in a religion and you wear a nun's habit, you wear a beanie, or you wear a rag. Now, you are guaranteed the freedom to practice your religion. That you're guaranteed. You're guaranteed the freedom to go about your business. As a matter of fact, in America, you're not even taxed. You have non-profit status, right? It don't mean that I got to sit here and believe everything out of your mouth or even respect what you say you believe. Because if you say you believe it, I would much rather see you doing it than talking about it. And today, the world is choking on people talking about their religion, and we have a dearth of individuals that are actually practicing it. We have hardly any. I bet you for every million Muslims, there's about, I'd give you maybe 50,000 actually practice the religion, and for every 10 million Christians, I'd say about the same, 50,000, that actually practice the faith, whatever it is. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how to read a news story, and hopefully as you go through your day finding news from around the world, whether you pick it up on a bathroom wall or whether you're searching for it along railroad tracks and you have to dry it out on a clothesline in your basement, I hope you'll always remember to read a news story intelligently. Thank you. I'm Phil Hendry. We'll be back with our, what is it, Life Imitates Phil? Coming up, it's going to be a sweet thing. Right after this, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Remember the night I was trying to remember the name of the woman on Court TV who's the sidekick, the forehead boy? She's on TV right now. Liz Wiehl, or Wiehl, W-I-E-H-L. Bright, beautiful, and why she's sitting there propping him up. And I said to her, you got to be on Forehead Boy's show because he doesn't know how to carry a three-hour show, does he? And she's like, and I said, and not only that, you're smart enough to carry the show yourself, aren't you? And she went, and I said, you're real cute. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Time now for a very significant Life Imitates Phil. You know, it's really funny. The television business is an interesting business. It's a whole bunch of people trying to claim origination for ideas that they've stolen. I mean, basically, that's TV. With the exception of one or two networks, one of which I happen to be working with at the time, right now, the Fox Television Network, I appreciate their originality and I appreciate their taking a chance on Phil Henry. Of course, if they don't pick up our pilot, then I'll probably have bad things to say about them, too. I'm joking around. However, this is proof positive right here. This is Life Imitates Phil. ABC, according to one of our listeners, Drew, the ABC television network, is going to have a show where five families compete to adopt a baby. Now, Drew writes, I believe Tony Neal had a reality show called Will You Be My Mommy? That was a sort of a reverse where orphans were trying to tap dance and juggle, a la American Idol, their way into the hearts of families. The point is, it's going to be a heart-wrenching reality show involving adoption. Now, to add even more gall to the high heapings of gall we've got, Uri Geller, you know that guy, that discredited quack that used to claim he could bend spoons? The only thing he can bend is his waist. I'll tell you why he's bending spoons, man. You got to get him closer to his nose. Uri Geller claims that ABC's ripping him off, that he wrote a book about that. Well, guess who's ripping who off? You got it. Life Imitates Phil. Because in February of 2003, Tony Neal came on our show to say his show, Will You Be My Mommy, the new reality show where orphans tap dance and juggle their way into the hearts of families, was going to be picked up by a network, he hoped. Here is Tony Neal talking with another character of ours, Father James McWhorter, and some callers.
Well, I was listening to a program, and I heard this man, and I thought I was doing all right until I heard this man, who I think I agree with the father that this is the worst kind of almost like auctioning a slave. It's almost as if we're back in the slave times.
Well, Father, both of you are Roman Catholic priests. I don't think you have a leg to stand on.
And what's that supposed to mean? What is that supposed to mean, sir?
You know what it means. We had this whole sex thing.
Wait a minute. You're not indicting these men. These men just because they're priests?
You guys can't say anything because I... Listen, what you guys have been up to...
I haven't been up to anything. And I think...
Neither am I, and this is...
I think what you're saying is a blasphemy, and I think what you're saying is a slander, and I think you should be investigated by the authorities.
I do too, Father.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you something else. If I were there right now, where you are, Mr. Neal, I believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of our Lord, and I believe essentially in the word to turn the other cheek, but I would take my knee and drive your gonads so...
Come on now, both of you guys.
I swear to God, this guy has pissed me off so much.
Get a load of this guy.
You've made these people angry, and you've indicted both of these men as being molesting priests because you got a show that exploits children.
I'm taking children. They tap dance to get a home. What's wrong with that?
They tap dance to get a home.
You make a child tap dance?
They're braided out in a bathing suit, too, aren't they?
And I'm sure that'd be something that'd gun your engine, wouldn't it?
Oh man, you guys are really something else.
You're about as foul as I've ever heard in my life.
Father, you know something, Mr. Neal? I don't know where you work, but I'm going to call the office you work at tomorrow, and the network that picks up your program, I can assure you we will have a boycott, advertiser boycott, the likes of which you've never seen.
Oh, they tried to boycott me with Married with Children. It didn't work.
So you did Married with Children. That was a piece of vulgar garbage as well. And if I were where you are right now, I would take your face and rake it across a picket fence. What do you think of that?
I'd join you.
There you go. Because there's a time when, as our Lord threw the money changers out of the temple, there's a time for righteous anger.
Well, I can't say as I blame you, gentlemen. I think that...
Wait. You're taking the side of these two poobahs? These two guys that are chicken hawks? What do you think?
What do you mean, chicken hawk?
Oh, I know what he's doing. He says we're out cruising for boys. You know what I'm going to do with you? I'm going to call the company you work for, and I will assure them that the entire Archdiocese of Los Angeles, California, will be up in arms when your program is on the air. You piece of walking excrement.
That's a good description, Father.
Father, you know what I think? I think the Lord rested on the seventh day, and I think he squatted to take a dump, and this guy came out.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
If I saw you in a dark alley, I'd grab a pair of chain cutters and I would remove whatever little manhood you've got. Goodbye. Good Lord.
Okay, goodbye.
Thank you very much, Patrick.
You can all go to hell. Remember, Wednesday nights at 9.
How about that, huh? Life imitates Phil. ABC is thinking of doing a show where they're going to adopt out kids. Boy, did we see that coming like 18 blocks off? As soon as the reality show thing hit, you just start, you're sitting in the office prepping your show. Well, what's next? And we went to, I still like the one, You Haven't Got the Guts, where you have two welfare mothers play chicken, and the one who jumps first, she doesn't win $1 million, and the other one becomes a millionaire. That's fantastic. But they're going to do this one, and it's, what are they going to call this? This is called, it's called, oh, here it is. It's called Thank You, Phil, for Another Idea. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have another Life Imitates Phil because they're coming fast and furious. And more on the hybrids. The wonderful people at Honda sent me some stuff. I didn't ask for it. They listened to the show. So they sent me some stuff in their hybrid. We'll talk about the hybrid and how we can get off that Arab juice. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, coming up this hour on the Phil Henry Show. I'm sorry, I was talking and the microphone was not switched on. I was here. I was at my post, but I had my headphone level turned down so I couldn't hear the music. And my engineer, Mark Newman, a new father of a baby boy who's flipping off the FCC on our homepage. If you go to www.philhenryshow.com, you'll see the one-week-old Jack Newman with his middle finger extended as he sucks his thumb. And he's just sitting there going, whatever. So this is life, huh? Whatever. Coming up on our program this hour, we are going to deal with another mailbag and Honda hybrids, baby. Let me tell you something. The hybrid is the only way that all of us can get together on this Iraq thing and we can all get into agreement and say this is the way to solve the problem. We are not going to be sending any more money over to those cats in Saudi Arabia. We're not going to be sending any more jack over to them cats over in Syria or whoever is pumping the gas. We're done. And by the way, another prediction that I made is coming true. Hold on for a minute. Yeah, David.
What is it with you all of a sudden? Oh, and another prediction that I made. I'm trying...
Do you mind if we talk about this in your office when I get off the air?
I'm telling you this right now because I'm the vice president of syndication for your show. I'm trying to correct the course of your radio show tonight. Life imitates Phil. Oh, and here's something else I did. And that me, I. Phil, I am trying to...
This is what I...
Listen to you. You don't have confidence in this material. If you did, you'd blow right into it. But I'm coming on the air here to tell you the audience is out there, and they're going into a coma, over the stuff you're talking about. Let me guess, you're going to talk about Iraq.
Well, it has to do with Iraq.
Oh, yeah. Well, how did I guess that? Your favorite topic. To listen to you talk about it, you'd think you were in the Marine Corps yourself.
I think it's important news.
It may be important news, but to go on and on and on. Yeah, Iraq today, our Marines butchered up a few more people. Oh, and by the way, here's another story that I haven't told you about Iraq.
It was going to be a story about some military policemen who have been arrested for abusing Iraqi prisoners.
Oh, well, there you go. There's the word Iraq in that story again. Funny how that word keeps popping up. How do you know they abuse prisoners?
They've got pictures of it.
Pictures of what?
Pictures of some naked guys that they made kneel on the floor.
Naked guys kneeling on the floor?
Yeah.
I want to see those.
I'll send them over.
Go ahead.
All right.
By the way, Semper Fi.
Thank you. Some military police in Iraq have been arrested for abusing Iraqi prisoners. And CBS is going to air this and show the heinous things that they did to these Iraqi prisoners. I just want to warn you, what they did is they humiliated them. Now, I realize that it's against the law. I realize that it is a violation of the military code of conduct, of international law, of military justice, and all of that stuff. And I recognize that they're in line for a court-martial. I get it. I get it. I get it. I get it. But you got to see these pictures because, quite frankly, I find them amusing. There is a male military police officer, an American, and a female. And the female is seen most prominently in the pictures with a cigarette hanging out of her mouth, pointing to the underdeveloped endowment of many of these Iraqis. And there's one picture that, it's funny. I mean, I'm sorry, it's funny. In other words, there's nobody being physically brutalized. They're told to stack on top of each other. In one photograph, they have written the word rapist on the arm of one of the Iraqi prisoners, alluding to the possibility that this man was arrested for rape. In another photograph, there are pictures of naked Iraqis who are kind of, you know, squatting and otherwise very undignified. There's another picture of an Iraqi who is standing over another Iraqi and they are simulating a sex act. There's another picture of the female military police officer pointing to another Iraqi who is naked, pointing to his thing and laughing. And there's yet another photograph of a guy wrapped up in saran wrap or something. All of these pictures are pretty, you know, they pretty much indict. They got another guy in a black hood, like he's the Madonna or something. And all of them are pretty much, you know, going to send these two military police officers into some kind of serious trouble. But before we start trotting out images of the SS and of police brutality and of, oh, I don't know, what other things you're going to be hearing in the days to come? What other things is CBS going to lay on you?
Why, this is the worst atrocity since I, Eric Severide, was walking the streets of London as the V-2 rockets fell on the people shod in iron boots.
And, Eric, come on, just sit down. You're not on the air.
I thought the camera light...
No, that's not the camera light. That's a flashlight. Bobby's looking for your keys that you threw in the bushes. So just sit down. So in other words, you got a couple of U.S. military policemen who posed some Iraqis in a very humiliating way. And the other reason for having the woman so prominent in the picture is Arab men, at least in a certain segment of Arab culture, I should say, Arab men find it exceedingly humiliating to be mocked or otherwise made lesser than a woman. And to have a female there pointing at their private area and laughing is probably the most humiliating thing. Actually, they saved them the humiliation. They didn't know she was there. They had bags over their heads. They might have thought it was just some guy with a high-pitched voice who smelled good. Now, you can look at these pictures if you want. You can see them for yourself. They're on a website called CBSNews.com. I've never heard of that. Have you? No, I'm kidding. It's on some website. That I think it's called Democratic Underground. As an example of just another example of the sheer brutality of America's occupation. It's just getting worse and worse. The Iraqi people, they have more food now, but it's not as much as the Americans said they'd have. And they've got more electricity now, but it's not as much. And they'd much rather have the buses and the trains running on time than have these Americans talking to them about this democracy stuff. Let's bring Saddam back and have lots and lots of stuff in the stores, and who cares if a guy gets his ear occasionally cut off? It ain't my problem. In other words, bring back the totalitarian world, which is keep your nose clean, keep to yourself, and nothing bad's gonna happen to you, chump. And that's the way the Iraqi folks like it. Some of them, anyway. Not most of them, some of them. Front page story in the LA Times today, a Shiite cleric says, I was an ally of the U.S., but now I'm totally against the occupation. What they're doing to my country. How many times has he been there? Three. When was the first time he was there? In September of last year. And I think the last time he was there was sometime around January. And he's an expert. And they got a front page story, and they interviewed the guy in Pomona. And if you don't know where Pomona is, it's about 2 miles away from where I grew up. That's how close to Iraq it is. And they're talking to this guy about all the brain surgery that he knows about Iraq. He's all clued in. I'll bet you were clued in. He didn't dig Hussein. He wanted him out of there. And every bloody story is always the same. This is the thing that drives me. I want to drive a hypodermic needle into somebody's gum, man, and give them extra Novocaine. Every story is the same. I'm really glad Hussein is gone. He was the worst butcher, the worst dictator, the worst. It's like they got to qualify the statement because they don't want it to seem as if they're glad, you know, they wish the guy was still there, right? But then they go on and blather on about how America this and America that. Look, if we did a good thing, why don't you just acknowledge we did a good thing and help out instead of sitting there in Pomona at your Shiite mosque yakking about stuff you don't know anything about? Frankly, I know just as much about Iraq as you do, pal. These days, guy's been back there once. He got the guided tour from whoever, and, you know, one of his buddies in the neighborhood took him down to the porn, you know, where they used to buy their porn, and the Americans shuttered it, and it's just, it ain't like the old days. So, this story here, CBS airs alleged GI's abuse of Iraqis. Man, you guys really have to dig a long way, and you have to go through tons and tons of manure to come up with this weak story. I mean, it's weak. You know, you guys are hoping for the My Lai massacre, and you aren't getting it. You're hoping for the massacre of Malmedy, and you aren't getting it. You're hoping for the Nazi atrocities in Greece, and you're not getting it. What are you getting? Some GI military policewoman making a bunch of nude Iraqis stand around with bags on their heads. And this is what you guys think is the My Lai Massacre Part 2. 28 days later. So go check it out, okay? And if the pictures don't make you laugh, then frankly, you're listening to the wrong show, I guess. I don't know. All right, 1-800-449-8686. We got our flashback with Dean Wheeler coming up, Phil's mailbag, and another Life Imitates Phil, as well as my friends from Honda sent us some information on the Honda hybrids. And I got to tell you, I'm thankful that they did because it shows, first of all, these cats listen to the show. I didn't call them up and say, hey, how about sending me some information? I can tell my listeners about it. They listened to the show. They heard me going on and on about Arab oil and everything. And I don't, you know, I'm tired of talking about ragheads this and war that. I know what the solution to the problem is. You do too. We've got to get off that gasoline. So I'll tell you a little bit about what they told me, which ain't a whole lot. They sent me the book and I didn't bring it with me. But we'll talk about it, the whole hybrid revolution and how if your next car is not a hybrid, some kind of gasoline-conserving automobile, then you just don't get what's going on in the world. You just don't have a clue. So join the club. Neither do I. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
...1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, now look. I realize that the automobile in our society is a symbol of so much. And I also get what symbols mean. Now, if you are sitting there scratching your balding noggin and saying, what the hell is he talking about now? Let me make it simple. You wear a wedding ring, don't you? Yeah, that's a symbol. of you being married. Well, your car is the same thing. No, it isn't. It's a way to get from one place to another. Yeah, bull crap. You know, if that was the case, you could get a little car. You wouldn't be spending half the money you do on cars. Get from one place to another. It's a symbol of who you are. And to ask my listeners, or for any host to ask any listener to consider buying a hybrid, is basically saying, chuck everything you know about what the automobile represents in America, because that's the problem. That's the problem. That's the real problem that we're having. The reason why we are addicted to gasoline is because we refuse to give up the cars that we're driving. And why do we refuse to give up the cars that we're driving? Because they represent more than just a way to get from point A to point B. Now, yeah, I get it. Detroit went to the smaller car after the gas crunch in the late 70s. Well, we're buying those cars because we didn't have any choice, did we? But we still wanted them to look smart. We still wanted them to drive good. We still wanted them. Of course, you want them to be mechanically sound. The hybrid right now is a part gasoline, part electric motor. You will get, in the case of the Honda Civic Hybrid, about 650 miles to a gallon of gas. It ain't pretty. It ain't a pretty car. But I'm asking people to consider this for only one reason, man. I don't give a crap whether they sell more Hondas as opposed to Toyotas. I will say this. I appreciate Honda reaching out to my audience and sending me information on it. Because they know I got a big fat mouth and they're not stupid. They realize if they can get some information on their Honda Civic Hybrid to some guy that's spewing hot air on a talk radio show, then maybe that guy will talk about their car. And next thing you know, maybe people will go in and buy it, okay? So, hey, Toyota, if you're out there listening to me, send me some crap on your car. And I do mean crap. I'm joking. The Honda Civic Hybrid, retailing out at about $19,650 fish in the dish. It gets up to 650 miles on a single tank of gas. Now, that's about gassing up every couple of weeks, maybe. You're cutting your gasoline use in half. And as you cut your gasoline use in half, that has ramifications down the line to the original producer in, you got it, Raghead Land. And what does that mean to them? It means no longer can they dictate to us as to how life is going to go. It means also the more important thing, no longer do we have to be involved in that part of the world. No longer do we have to make them our friends and say nice things about them when they're out of the room about how they dress and the lamb kebabs they like. We don't have to even be in the same room with those scumbags any longer because we don't have any business to attend to with them. Why? Because most of the oil that we're going to be using, sure, a lot of it comes from Saudi Arabia, but we're also going to be producing it ourselves. We don't have to produce that much. We can buy it from Mexico, Venezuela, whatever. In other words, they're not making as much money off of us, and so and they are not producing something that we are so reliant on that they can just tell us how it works morning, noon, and night. I understand the Bush family tie-in with the Saudis much better than a lot of people think. I also understand the fact that they suffer if we don't buy their gasoline, and so they really need to make us happy. Well, they're not doing it, man. They got us going over there on our hands and knees. We're like puppy dogs to those people. The American consumer's got to do something about it. We've done it before with so many different things. Nobody got together and said, hey, let's all put on a show and Muffy can put up the barn door and Grandpa can get money for his surgery. No, we're not that kind of people. We just all do it because it makes sense. I'll tell you one thing that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. Buying an SUV now, buying any SUV now, you have to be out of your mind. You either have to be insane or you have to be so colossally stupid that you ought to have your kids taken away from you. If you're out there buying some gas-sucking SUV right now in the middle of us trying to pacify a region of the world that hates our living guts, doesn't want us over there, and we're only over there for one thing, pulling oil out of the ground. Our Marines wouldn't be over there in the situation they're in today, not because of George Bush, not because of the warmongering policies of the U.S. Those guys wouldn't be over there today, and our Army and our Navy wouldn't be over there today if it weren't for the American people being utterly brain dead when it comes to their consumption of gasoline. Utterly brain dead. as in how it's conserved, as in how we can make it more efficient, as in what's the best car to drive, what's the best use of it, all of it. No, our tiny little pea brains can only grasp the extent of the Iraqi situation insofar as it's somebody else's fault, like a guy named Bush, or maybe a guy named Kerry, or all of the above. Who knows? Who cares? It ain't my fault. Right? Right. I got to tell you, don't buy a hybrid. Buy a hybrid. But anybody who, I saw this woman driving on the street the other day, I thought I was going to just wet myself. She's in a brand spanking new Lincoln Navigator with the dealer plate still on it, and she's going along there to go pick the kids up from school. And don't tell me if you got a big family, you got to buy one of those things, man. They got plenty of little station wagons. They got all kinds of cars that you can transport all kinds of kids in. You don't have to buy a tank. Do I sound like I'm upset? Yeah, I'm upset. I'm so sick and tired of talking about the Middle East and having anything to do with those people, I could puke blood. So I'm asking you to consider, as we are in this show, well, I consider my ass, I'm going to go out and buy one. When the lease is up on my wheels, I am buying one. I don't care if I look like the biggest nerd on earth. What do I give a crap, man? I'm married. I already got mine. Joking. All right, so it's called the Honda Hybrid, and maybe we'll tell you a little bit about the Toyota thing if they want to send us some stuff. 1-800-449-8686. Phil's mailbag, Life Imitates Phil. Bunch of junk coming up.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We have a Life Imitates Phil coming up. The guy, I don't know what it's about, though. What's it about? Bob Green just let me have it. It's American Idol is racist. Okay. Bob Green said American Idol is racist in April of 2004. And Elton John just said it. So Elton John is stealing Bob Green's material? Oh, my God. Are you desperate, fatso? Oh. That and also a mailbag. But first, here's Angela. Hello, Angela. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, you are the kind of American that makes America to the rest of the world what Texas is to America, and that is nobody likes it except for the people that live there.
I like Texas.
I'm sure you do. It doesn't surprise me one bit. I'm sorry. Let's go back to these photographs of these Israeli prisoners.
They're not Israeli, man. They're Iraqi.
Either way.
No, Iraqi's it's not either fine. Way. They're
That's
Iraqi.
That's fine, too.
Do you think they're the same thing?
Let's.
Do you think an Iraqi and Israeli is the same thing? I'm just curious.
No, I don't.
Okay, one is Arab. The other is Jewish.
Yeah, I know all about it. Sorry.
I know you're an educated woman. I didn't want you to fall into a trap there.
No.
Yeah.
Let's put those same pictures into perspective, and let's say they're American soldiers with Iraqi guards. Then would that not be just one more example of the atrocities of the Iraqi government, the atrocities of,
I can answer that if you're going to let me.
Sure. Go ahead.
You sure you're going to let me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, it would be an example of the extreme humiliation of Americans, an atrocity on the level of cutting off ears. We'd probably say, well, we know the Iraqis are capable of more because they have done more. So you really want to use that as an example?
Yeah, I
all
do.
Right. Okay, stripping
because
down American soldiers.
Aren't we supposed to be better? Aren't we supposed to be going in there?
Well, we are better. We're far better.
To make an example and
we're
show
far
them
better.
How much better we are?
We are far better. We are far better. And that's why, for
okay,
instance...
Okay, now explain to me then why you are...
Do you know how we're better?
Telling...
Do you know how we're better?
However, what, you're literally tens of people in your audience that...
Well, you're one of them, so...
That, absolutely.
Yes, we sucked you in tonight.
That this is something that's laughable, that this is something that's okay, that this is something...
Well, let me give an example. We showed them naked. Can I just say, we showed them naked, and they showed our people burning from a bridge. So there's a basic difference.
I'm sorry, but let, okay,
I'm
let's
sorry
go
that
back
I kind of blew your argument up with
the
that
fact
example.
That President Bush,
the fact of the matter is, Angela,
and a married couple were fired for showing flag draped coffins. How horrible that was.
Where did they get the right to show the coffins of men who fought for their country and who probably believed in it, huh?
Where did they get the right to show people humiliated?
Angela, you obviously don't know a whole lot about the world, and let me explain it to you. First of all, it's illegal in our country to do that. Those people are being court-martialed as we speak. In Iraq, you get a medal.
Yeah,
do you get the difference?
Propaganda.
Do you get the difference?
Propaganda. It's war propaganda.
What does that mean, propaganda?
And they don't
those
want
people,
to have to know the awful things that are going on in the world.
And what are those?
Enlighten
us. Enlighten us. What are those? What are those? What are those awful things that are going on?
The people are dying over
people
this.
Die in war. Yeah. What
over
else?
Gas.
People die in war.
Over oil.
Over oil? Yeah. Well, you can thank yourself for that.
I'm sorry. I drive a Corolla.
Do you drive a car that uses gas?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, you can thank yourself for that. Now, I agree with you. We shouldn't be fighting for oil, but we have to. Americans live on oil.
We do?
Without oil, this
I'm
country
sorry,
dies.
America needs to consume.
America
I think
dies.
It's like 30%
okay,
of the
well,
world's
Okay, well, I tell you, you get together with
we
your...
We have to?
Get together with your coffee clutch sisters and have them use less gas. How about that?
Well, let's... You know what? That doesn't change the fact that you're trying to belittle something that is
no,
absolutely wrong.
I'm saying
wrong.
It's illegal. No,
that
you're right. It's wrong. It is wrong. It is wrong. It's
and,
absolutely
and, no,
wrong.
I'm
and
sorry.
Being,
you said
but you're trying
that
to compare
funny.
It to atrocities on the level of the Nazis, and it ain't going to work. There isn't anybody believing you, and there isn't anybody even remotely believing you on that one. So don't try to compare it to some war atrocity where people's ears are cut off, thrown from the rooftops of buildings,
oh, and
are
so
given
above
here,
that,
and
though.
Are given,
we're
and
so
are given.
Above that.
Yes, we are because
we really?
Criminalize
but
that and we prosecute people
that
do
they
that.
Ought to be stripped naked
they
and
are prosecuted for those crimes
and
in our country. And in Iraq, they're given medals,
that's,
okay?
That's laughable.
In Iraq,
to
they're
you.
Given medals
that's
for that.
Funny.
Well, I guess you like it that they get medals. Would you like us to give them medals instead?
No, I don't think that we should be treating them inhumanely. I don't think that they should be stripped naked,
they were
piled
stripped
on top
naked,
of each other, simulating
and some chick with some
and
chick
photos
was
being taken
pointed.
Of it.
Oh,
and
no.
Then disc jockeys like you. Radio personalities, whatever it is that you want to call yourself, saying that it's funny.
It is.
It's funny.
Hysterical
because
to me.
If it were in the reverse, you would be outraged.
I think you need to move to a country where it's probably better, because this is such a Nazi state.
I didn't ever say that they were Nazis. Sorry, nobody is ever calling anybody Nazis.
Well, they compared George Bush to Hitler. I don't know where you were, but...
I'm sorry, I didn't actually
no, they,
ever say
I said,
that. Do you
they.
Want to roll the tape back?
You're
never
not one of them?
It.
You're not one of them?
Never said it.
How about France?
What about France?
You like them, don't you? You
I like don't care one way or the other. I've never been to France.
I think you like the kind of man who might take you there someday.
Oh, Jesus.
Wouldn't
okay.
you? Wouldn't you?
Okay. Yeah, you know what? That's,
you'd like
that's
him to pin you up
you
against
can...
a wall and just throw a kiss on your face as you walk down the Champs-Élysées.
Yeah, that's what I dream about every night because you're right. You're right. You know, find a way to make yourself better for saying that was funny.
No,
but
I didn't.
If it were in reverse... You would be
didn't
outraged.
You and I used to go out?
So to say that we as Americans are over there trying to create an example, trying to make a better government,
mm-hmm.
and all that comes out of it is
no,
crap like
no.
this?
No, what happened was two
and
of our soldiers,
like
two of our soldiers
so
acted
funny,
in an illegal way. Two soldiers
look
acted
at it
in an
laugh.
Illegal... Angela,
ha, ha, ha.
Angela, you don't want the truth. You just want to be right. But let me say this. Two of our soldiers
no,
acted illegally, and they're being prosecuted and court-martialed for it. It is not an example of the way the military should act. The military has said so. They're being prosecuted. Executed,
you
but you want to use
that.
It as an example of the way all soldiers act. The same soldiers, by the way, that when they
prosecuted.
Get shot, you say they're really great guys. Do you like soldiers when they're dead in coffins, or do you like them when they're alive and doing their job? When do you like soldiers, Angela? I think you prefer them in a box with a flag over it, because then you can
you
use it for your purposes.
Words in my mouth. I'm glad that you.
Well,
think
you know
that
what? I've talked to so many people like you. It's just boring.
Really
it's just
like
dull.
Me.
Yeah,
like
you know,
me.
You got the same predictable point of view. The atrocities of America. You can't look at the small picture to save your life.
What America is doing
you
is
like
wrong.
Seeing dead soldiers because
it
furthers
it
your point.
Wrong.
You want to see more dead no. soldiers because it furthers
no.
your point.
No, you're no. wrong.
Is this Bobby Dooley?
What?
1-800-449-8686. I think I got to go and I'm so stimulated right now. I've got to take a couple of minutes off. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
It's time now for Life Imitates Phil, Part 2. Elton John recently said that American Idol is a racist show. Well, listener Paul writes, wasn't there a skit Phil did about this very subject? The grocery store owner, Bob Green. Right you are, Paul. Elton John said that American Idol was racist, like on Tuesday, but two whole weeks ago, Bob Green, he said it was racist. Elton, you're a disgrace. Here's Bob Green as he talks about the racist nature of American Idol and how Elton John's a fat slob that shouldn't rip him off.
It's a gross misrepresentation of black Americans, and it's an insult to me and an insult to anyone who has any intelligence whatsoever. If you're going to put emphasis on the succeeding, a person of color succeeding in this country watching American Idol.
Julie,
by the way,
you're using a lot of hot air.
Less than 12% of the population of the United States of America, it happens to be African American. Less than 12%.
And how come so many of them could turn up on American Idol? That's my point.
Of them. You don't even watch the show.
All right.
If you notice, the majority...
I'm going to ask...
The end.
I want to ask Bozo Connors to come over here, because Bozo is one of our bad boys. Would you start playing? You said you're African-American, Julie?
Yes, I am. And I'm college-educated, and I'm 38
all right,
years old,
ready?
And I work in the entertainment industry.
All right, hit
Both
it.
Of my parents are college-educated. I'm from Washington, D.C.
All right, can you hear this? Can you hear that? Can you hear that, ma'am?
Yes, I hear it.
Are you not tapping your toe? Are you not...
Well, what is that
my
supposed to mean?
My would be to get an education, because music is a very unstable career. And it's very upsetting when these kids have stars in their eyes and they don't realize the reality. It's all about business.
Well, I guess, Julie, you may not be disagreeing with Mr. Green as much as you think, because you're saying it is a disappointing reality. But you, Mr. Green, playing that concertina and asking Julie if she feels like tapping her toe...
Yeah, that's a shuck and jive attitude, that old-world mentality... That okay, you put a drum beat on in front of a bunch of blacks, those will start dancing.
No, I'm
so happy, yeehaw, and that's a gross stereotype.
I feel like dancing when I hear it. What is that?
Is going to actually make this person have a very successful career financially for the rest of his life?
Yeah, and I don't know what kind of an act you're going to put on American Idol with a concertina.
Well, you don't feel like waving one finger in the air. All right.
All right.
Think it's wonderful you're offering opportunity, but
yeah, okay.
I think you're missing the
Would
point.
You tell him to turn that off?
Bozo, turn it off.
For the realistic world, not the entertainment
Julie.
Industry.
Thank
That's
you
a very flighty industry.
Well, Julie, I have a cashier. Her name's Vivian. She's black, and I have her go out on our loudspeaker, and she loves to sing. She belts out a couple of these, what they used to sing.
For a living.
And she put a... You sing for a living and you're arguing with... Get a load of this chick.
In Los Angeles.
Get a load of this broad. She's talking about...
Don't call my listeners broads.
Well, she's arguing with me and she's a singer for a living. Jesus.
There it is. Life imitates Phil. Elton John calls American Idol racist. Well, Bob Green had done the same thing some 3-4 weeks before Elton John did it. And so... I guess that's the way I really want to lock that out. Just... All right. It's time now for our mailbag. The email sent to us at phs@philhendryshow.com are reviewed very carefully by our crack staff of editors. And those that are deemed worthy of air are passed along to yet another series of editors. Those are further culled, and from that selection, we get down to about one half of a letter. So here's our mailbag. Dear Phil, I may have a solution to your bird problem. Go to your local sporting goods dealer and purchase an owl decoy. Oh, get out of here with that. I listen to Rome Show too, okay? Bug off with the owl decoy. No. You want me to read it, Tanis? It's the owl. I used it 3 weeks. I did last 2 years ago. Did I say 3 weeks? 2 years ago, I put an owl out there. Place it where the little bastards will see it, and they will probably leave... to the fact that they do not want to be perceived as lunch for the owl. This way I figure there will be no bloodshed and no more fat guys outside in their underwear spraying bird nests. Keep up the awesome work. Sincerely, Steve Monahan, Bangor, Maine. Steve, you're a sweet guy. I did the owl thing. The swallows looked at it like it was just another concrete mailbox. They looked at it like they look at me, in other words. Yeah, how you doing? It's another fat pig down there. Okay, let's see. Yeah, we'll put about another 8 nests over here. They must have the head swallow engineer. Where are we going this year? What do you mean, where are we going this year? We're going back to Henry's house. Why? Freaking guy, it's heaven. That jackass stands out there with his hose. We put up about 9 nests. We'll get about 58 chicks out of the whole thing. Then we all bug back to South America. And Fatso's down there in a bathrobe. And all the neighbors are laughing at him. Why? Just leave the building to me. All right, Benny, you go get some rocks from down by the barranca. Bobby, you go get a bit of a husk from a tree bark. Okay. Dear Phil, I wore your famous Phil Henry t-shirt on a plane ride from Salt Lake to Atlanta. As luck would have it, there was nobody sitting in the middle between me in the aisle seat and a smoking hot chick from Italy at the window. She spoke broken English, but when she saw the tilted Henry head on the black background, her face lit up. Well, the rest is history. I was amazed to find out that Ted's of Beverly Hills is known all the way to San Marcos. Viva la Henry, Ross Lipton. Heir to the Lipton soup fortune. What is this music? I feel like I'm going to a funeral here. Phil, your comments regarding Eli Manning are misguided. The guy is a jerk. He volunteered to enter a system, then complained when presented with an outcome. Being the first pick wasn't good enough. Going to a crappy team wasn't good enough. Both were good enough for his brother Peyton. Why not him? Does the family doubt his ability to be a franchise player? Perhaps he doesn't want the task of rebuilding a team. Sorry to say, but being the first pick pretty much requires it. Refusing to wear the cap of the team who had the rights to him was disrespectful. To bash the San Diego Chargers offensive line is laughable when you compare it to the New York Giants. Last season, the Giants were worse. According to NFL.com, the Giants... 44 sacks allowed in 616 attempts, an average of 1 every 14 attempts. And the Chargers, 29 sacks in 525 attempts, an average of 1 for every 18 attempts. Well now, who's coaching the Giants? Who? Fossil's still there? You're right, he's going to be crippled by the game, by probably the third game. No, fact is the Giant offensive line is far, far, far and away better than the San Diego offensive line. Here's why. First of all, Manny's going to have to carry far more of the load in San Diego than he will in New York, okay? They still got Kerry Collins. Oh, you mean they cut him? Anyway, the Giants average 4 yards per carry. The Chargers average 5.1. Hey, Brian, dude, the Chargers have got a guy by the name of LaDainian Tomlinson, okay? That's why they're averaging 5.1 yards per carry. LaDainian Tomlinson and any other team, any other offensive line, would run for 6,000 yards a season. That's how bad the San Diego Chargers are. That's how putrid they are. And what do you care? You're in Wichita. Phil, what kind of Harley did Bud have when he crashed? Thanks, Torin. I don't know. Dear Phil, my vote for the funniest line would have to be from you yourself and not one of your characters. I laughed so hard that my boss had to come by and make sure I was okay. Quote, if we could power a car on bullcrap, we'd be self-sufficient for centuries, end quote. Your comedy is truth and your truth is comedy, Phil. Lou. Well, thanks a lot, Lou, dude. And that's it, our mailbag, very, very sparse mailbag. Just one other comment about Eli Manning. Number one, Eli Manning can sit out the entire season and become a free agent and go to another team. He didn't do that. He told the Chargers up front, I don't want to play for you. The Chargers decided to draft him anyway and use that to their advantage and get some players that they felt they needed. They knew that Eli Manning didn't want to play for them. They knew that going in. They decided to hold on to his draft rights, draft him, and see what they could get for him, okay? It worked out good for the Chargers. So, dude, you're way off the mark on this one. Number two, no, he doesn't have to go to the team that drafted him, because this is America, and a guy can work for whoever he bloody well wants if they want to hire him. And by the way, the Giants have a new coach, Tom Coughlin, is it? Or Coughlin, or Cough-Up? And he did a stellar job there in Jacksonville, didn't he? Yikes. Okay, Donnell, hi.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Henry?
Mr. Henry, yes, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. First off, I got to tell you, I enjoy your show. I think you're one of the most insightful persons. One of the most insightful people out
there.
One of
the most insightful out people out here.
Yeah.
Because I'm out.
Yeah, I think you're terrific.
Thank you.
But I have to disagree with you on some things. And I have to disagree with you on the simple fact of the matter is that just because people disagree with you, they aren't subversive, and they don't necessarily want Iraq to win this war. I mean, we're in it. We should win it.
Why did I ever say that?
Well, your whole litany is full of, well, we should everyone that disagree with you is, you know, this, that, and the other thing.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for clearing that up. Don't forget the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD, 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio, available online at www.philhenryshow.com. Thank you and good night. I'm Phil Henry.
Paul Harvey. Good day.